Morning, brothers and sisters. Yeah. I haven't been sitting here for standing here for a while since last year. So today we're going to share a topic. My message topic is "Come and you will see." And then we go on to next page. Well, I will have three parts to share this message. So first part is who you following, and the second part will be what are you seeking. And then the third one will be who he is. And then this message will be from the verses in the book of John. So I will invite some of our brothers and sisters to read for us. So first one is who you are following. Second is who you are seeking. And then third one is who he is. Oh. I think that's a PPT.
That's fun.
So it's fun. I can read for brothers and sisters because I send it's a long PPT. Okay. So will be in the John, book of John, chapter 1, verse 35 to 42. So let me read for you. So the next day, again, John was standing with two his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them, following, and they said to them, "What are you seeking?" And then they said to him, "Rabbi, why are you standing? Where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and then you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and then they stayed with him in that day, for it is what it was about 10th hour. One of the two heard Jesus speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas." Probably, brothers and sisters already know about this message, about these verses. Let's pray first, have some prayers first. Oh Lord, we thank you, we commit the time to you. May you use these verses and then open our heart and then let us know you more and then know what you're going to talk to us. May your Holy Spirit working in our heart and then that we know, really know what we are seeking and what we want, and then who you are. Oh Lord, let us know you more from this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So the topic is, come and you will see. So when you read these verses, and you have a picture, so the John Baptist, and then two disciples standing there. So they might talking to each other, might John told them, give his teaching to these two disciples. And then suddenly, the John Baptist, he stopped. When they talked to each other, they face to face talked to each other, but suddenly he stopped. And he turned his eyes to one direction. And then he probably just point his point to one direction to someone. And then we know that's Jesus. And then when Jesus walking by, he turned his eyes on him and then just pointed fingers at him and said, "Look." So he wanted his disciples to pay attention to Jesus. And he said, "Look, this is the Lamb of God." I couldn't I wanted to ask how serious Job saying this sentence. But I think he's quite seriously saying this to his disciples. So why he stopped talking to his disciples and saying this? What his mean of the name of God? Why he want his disciples to see this man? Before we move on, and the talking explain more why he's saying this. I think we have to know who is John. Who is John the Baptist? So probably you read some the Bibles as well, and then a lot of stories about him. What do you think about John? Who is the John Baptist? Probably you know about his family. His father's name, his mom's name, and then this couple, they're getting very old and they still have no kids. So they prayed a lot in front of God. And one day God said, you will have a son. But his father, John's father, he didn't believe. Because he said, I'm so old. And my wife is old. How can we have a boy? Like you said. But God said, yes, you will have a boy. So the wife did give birth to a boy. And after John was called by the Lord, and he came out and served the Lord when he was 30 years old. He went to all the region around the river Jordan. And he proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So when you read the Bible, his service was blessed. So in that whole area, like Jerusalem, many people come to him, confess the sins, and have been baptized. So John service attract a lot of people come to him. So the Bible said he is the person used by Lord, has the spirit and the power of Elijah. So before John, you know, like Old Testament and the New Testament, that's 400 years gap. Why we say always 400 years? Because in these 400 years, the Lord never talked to one sentence to Israelite people. But when John came, when he came out and served, and then people can see the power. Israel people can see the hope. Because John shout to name, John proclaim, come because the kingdom is near. So you have to confess your sins. And we know John become famous because people all come to him, want to see him, who he is. People thinking, is he the Messiah? Because we know from the Bible, the God said, that's one will come and save Israelite. Save this country. So people expecting he might be the one. But when we say John come and do the baptism, but the second thing, main thing he do is, he looking for the one as well. He looking for a man. Like he said, there's one who is coming after me, is mightier than I. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his strap of sandals. So, one hand, John have a job. He shout to people, he wanted people to come and confess their sins. So people come and confess sins and being baptized. But the other thing is, he denied he is Christ. He said, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ. But next one is coming after me. He's coming. And he's among you. I'm looking for him as well. So he will do big things than me. Because he is the one. He is the Messiah. So this is John's job. He denied he is Messiah. He never said he's Messiah, but he said, I'm waiting for that one. So now, when you have this background, and we can come back to John baptism and his two disciples. When he seeing that Jesus coming, passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. The first word he using is look. So he wanted his disciple pay attention to this person. Pay attention to this man passing by. Look. So he wants your the disciple's attention to seeing someone. He want to remind his disciple, don't mix out. Because you need to take it seriously. Look at him. Focus on your eyes on him. He is someone. So John introduced Jesus to his disciples. That's what John wanted to say. Look. Look at him. Don't look at me. Because he is the someone. I believe John will always share the story, always share his expectation about this person. Because he always will share to his disciples, I'm not the Messiah, but I'm looking for the Messiah. He's coming. He's among you. But the thing is, in the beginning, I believe John not sure who he is. But if you read the verses a little bit from this the same chapter, so one day John confirmed who he is. Because when he baptized Jesus, and he saw the Holy Spirit coming down on him. So he confirmed this is the Messiah. So now he not just only hold this secret in his heart, but now he share to his disciples. He introduced this Messiah to his disciples. Look at him. He is the one. So brothers and sisters, when you come here, when you have meeting on Sunday, when you're listening the message every Sunday, this kind of way as well, we introduce our Jesus to you. We introduce this Lord to you. Our heart just want you take seriously. Don't ignore him. Look at him. Focus on him. Because he is someone you couldn't ignore. He is the most important one in your life. So John shall talk to his disciples. Look. So look at what? If someone tell you look, so have a look or look outside. look the moon, look the sport cart, or look the some cute baby, or look outside someone is doing sporting. But John said, look. Look the person, he is the Lamb of God. In the other words, in the same book, chapter 1, 29, verse 29, John also said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. When we have a comparison, John and then the Jesus. So we said, John said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. And people asking him, so who you are? And John said, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ. I'm just the voice. I'm just the voice only. But what about Jesus? Jesus, yes, he is the Messiah. Yes, he is the Lamb of God. He is not a voice. When you know the voice, when I'm just talking about, last sentence might be just come to you, in your ear, you receive, and it disappeared. So the voice can't last too long. So John, what he's mean, I'm the voice. He's mean, I'm the nothing. I'm nothing. But why here he's going to emphasize is he is the Lamb of God. So John said, look at him. And then kind of you can read out is, look, the Lamb of God. Look at John, got an eager in their heart and want to encourage his disciple to follow Jesus. He introduced Jesus to his disciples and then he happy to see his disciple leave him and follow Jesus. Actually, it's very hard for a teacher, for like a rabbi in that time. If you have a lot of followers, and then you just say, all right, today we finish here, go and follow someone else. But John know his disciple need someone better than him. John Baptist, he knew the disciples needed someone really can save their lives. So that is Jesus. So like my first part, I said, who are you following? Are you following Jesus or are you following someone else? You say, of course, I'm following Jesus. But brothers and sisters, when you follow someone, and then you really, really wanted to do what he taught to you. Like Jesus said, if you love me, you will follow me and do what I said to you. So, what are you following? This disciple heard this, and then they have a reaction. They just kind of like abandon John, and then they just follow Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, sometimes in our life, we got someone help us a lot. No matter they might be our parents, they might be some teachers or some Sunday school teachers, or someone, some brothers and sisters in the church. But to be honest, we can't rely on all the time. We can't just come only for name. Because if we come only for name, we probably just follow name only. We not really follow Jesus. So when you come here, because we like to follow Jesus. But these two disciples, they have a very, very pure heart. They just listen and they just follow. They just didn't say, what happened? Why? They didn't talk to John and say, why are you saying this? Why we follow him? Why follow this guy? He's a new person. We didn't know him. But I think the point is, they trust, they love John. They knew John wanted him to have a better one to follow. They wanted John, they know the teacher's heart, the John's heart. One of them said, we found someone. He is looking for a while as well. He's the real person you need to follow. So these disciples just trust and believe. And then they just follow Jesus. Okay, when they listen and they follow, and then probably just come behind. Oh, that's John. They just come and follow Jesus. And then Jesus saw them following him. And Jesus turned and said them, saw them following, and then said to them, what are you seeking? In the other version of Bible, it said, what do you want? Jesus didn't say it, why are you following me? I'm not worthy. No, he said, he acting like a rabbi and then challenged them. What do you want from me? So, brothers and sisters, if you are disciples, when Jesus asks you the same question, what do you want? What do you want from him? You following me, what do you want? What are you seeking? We know someone come to Jesus. They want to come to Jesus because Jesus can have miracles. He can cast out the demons. He can heal the disease. And some come for Jesus. They're seeking religious benefits. They want a peace of heart. They want an enjoyment of religion atmosphere. They're probably seeking social benefits. Can make friends here. And then we have a group support here. Or someone seeking blessings. Like I said, want to have a disease healed. They want to study their life or their exam getting passed with help of our Lord, with Jesus. Or they want a family, receive some blessings, or their career blessed, their work blessed. Everything they want a blessing. But what the disciple answered? Like I said, what are you going to answer if Jesus asks you? What do you want? What do you want from me? And what the disciple, these two disciples answered? They said, where are you staying? Where do you live, Rabbi? Why are they saying this? What do you want? And they said, where do you live? Why are you staying tonight? Why they answer like this way? Because they want to say, may we go and stay with you tonight. We definitely follow you and would like to stay with you. We don't want anything. We don't want anything from you, but would like to stay with you. If we know where you're living, and we will know where to find you if we need you. I quite like the disciples' answers. Because they came, they followed him, and they answered this question with a pure heart. They didn't get many things about what I want this, I want this. If you show me this, I'll believe you. If you give me this, I believe you. No, they just said, I want to stay with you. Is it possible? May I stay with you? They just want to have a pure heart to know Jesus more. Because if you like to come to someone's place or stay with someone, you're willing to know someone more. You're willing to know him, want to make friends with him, want to have a relationship with him. So dear brothers and sisters, if we say we are believers, if we say we are following him, but we just come to him using a lot of not like multiple, like a motives in our heart. We want this, we want that. But like this attitude, like this heart, I just wanted to know you more. And then as Jesus answered again, he didn't say yes or not, but he answered in a very smart way. He said, come and you will see. Come and you will see. Jesus didn't refuse their request, but said to them, he didn't refuse, but he didn't say, no way. I didn't know you, and the first day, and you just two strangers just throwing me, and I don't know who you are. You probably are criminals. You probably have something bad do for me. So I don't know you guys. So how can I keep my location, my place to you? Or he might say, yeah, I'm a rabbi. So I want to have a look who you are. So I'm a very high standard teacher. So I need to test you. If you want to follow me, yes. But I need to test you. You smart enough or not? If you're smart enough, I will accept you. But if you're not smart enough, I'm not allow you to follow me. But he said, come. You're welcome. He invites these two disciples to come to his place. He's willing to issue his invitation card to both of them. So come to him. He's encouraging to hear that. So brothers and sisters, I'm not sure in your mind how you're thinking Jesus is. Probably from parents, probably from some teachers, you were thinking he's very harsh person, he's very fussy person. He's very fussy God or very fussy Lord. He gave you a lot of requirements. So he probably give you a checklist and throw on the table and give to you and said, well, when you finish this and come to me. If you couldn't finish this, you will receive the punishment. But from Bible, when you read the gospel, all the four gospel books, Jesus never saying this. He never saying this way, say, don't come to me. Even for the kids. You know, when in Jesus' day, the kids, little kids, in the adult's eyes, the kids has no value. No, they treat kids and women nothing. But one disciple, one brought the kids, came to Jesus. And Jesus said, no, they didn't come to me. So, today Jesus also give us invitation. Come, no matter who you are, or no matter how is the spiritual condition you are, but he will still invite you, come. Come to him. So if you see the Bible, he don't really care about who is the person come to you, come to him. If there's a Pharisee, you're welcome to him. If there's a sinful woman, just commit adultery, you still come, welcome to him. If you are the beggars, you still welcome. If you are the king, you are welcome. If you are the man, if you are the woman, you have a lot of questions about Jesus. You are welcome. I know many of us, we probably still have a lot of questions about him. I recognize I still have a lot of questions. I couldn't understand and then be answered. Some questions in my heart. So when I was young, when I was like 14, 15 years old, I think I become a believer at that time. But that time is in the, is a growing up as a young adult. And then, you know, the school give us a different system of thinking, you know, in China at that time. And it is very, a conflict in my heart. The education give you one system. And then the Bible give you the other system. And different thinking and an opposite. So it will cause a lot of questions. And it caused a lot of doubts in my heart. I tried to get some teachers from the Sunday school to answer the questions. But someone did give me a good question, perfect question. But some questions they couldn't answer me. Couldn't make me satisfied. So, but one day I was reminded, why you only focus on these questions? Why you just saying, if you answer my question, and then I'll believe you are the Lord. But one day, the Lord's name said, remind me, you need to put down these questions. And you come and believe him. So to be honest, sometimes we facing a lot of challenges. But one brother shared something I think is quite encouraging me. He said, so when you see the baby and they're growing up, I got a 2 years old and 6 years old. So I'm being a father, and then I think in the beginning it's very excited time is this baby can call me daddy. It's a very exciting point. But the thing is we have to teach him to call me daddy. But always in the beginning, he's made a lot of mistakes. So when I say, call me daddy, and then he didn't. He called mom daddy, or he didn't want to say anything. So it's very, very tricky time. But later he know this is the deity. So one thing I want to point out is for these kids, they never said, why I call you daddy? Do you have any proof said you're my father? Do you have evidence let me to call you father? Give me proof. Give me evidence. No, they never said this. They just trust and believe and then call me. And then later, when they grow up, they will have evidence. This man, he loved me, he support me, and then he make money to support me. He earned the bread and butter on table for me. So this man definitely is my father. So the same thinking, brothers and sisters, you can't just use your reason, use your brain and said, all right, please just convince my reason, convince my brain. But Lord, no one don't ask you this way. So come first. Come to him first. You need to believe. And then what? And then he promised, you will see. He will see what? He will see who he is. So, when these two disciples, I know they just have a pure heart, they follow the Jesus. But I quite believe they still have a lot of questions about this man. Because both of them are the stranger to Jesus. But Jesus knew them, of course. But they didn't know Jesus. They just follow the instruction from the John, the previous teacher. And like we said, they follow him. They stay with him. And then I believe Jesus answers some of their questions. Probably when you come to someone, even probably to Uncle Neil, but some of your questions even couldn't be answered. And then you couldn't get the perfect answers from him. But I promise, Jesus can give you the perfect answer. Probably no of them, probably no answer in one time, but he will give you the perfect answer to you. You might be frustrated and disappointed because you got so many questions, so many doubts in your heart, but no one can help you out. But like we said, Jesus said what? Come and you will see. Come and your answers will be answered. Your questions will be answered. So the third part I'm going to share is who he is. So when disciples stay with him, and then they rarely see who he is. So we can see from John, chapter 1, verse 40. And then like I read, is one of the disciples called Andrew. And then after that, he stayed with Jesus. And then he came to his brother, whose name is Peter. And what he talked to his brother, he said, brother, we have found Messiah. We have found the Christ. And also Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Who is Andrew? Andrew is one of the two disciples followed Jesus. We talked before. So from the conversation of these two brothers, we know Andrew, he definitely confirmed Jesus is the Messiah. What happened? What happened after this staying with Jesus? Very short period, probably. Maybe just overnight. Or a couple of times. And then he found it out Jesus is the Messiah. What happened? The Bible didn't say anything what happened in between this. But he gives us a outcome. He gives us a positive outcome is Andrew found Jesus is the Messiah. So it's very interesting. Bible gives us a way. So come and you will see. And then he didn't explain what happened, this process. But he gave us an outcome. He found it. Or like Andrew's witness, I found it. I found it who he is. So this message is very encouragement for us. No matter you already believed or you about to believe or you probably still have a lot of questions and doubts in your heart. But just remember Jesus' promise. If you come and you will see, he's willing to invite you to him. So why not just when you come, put down your questions and doubts. And then just pray you have a pure heart to him. And then the second is you will see. Actually, definitely he will walk in your heart and open your eyes and you will see who he is. And he will answer your questions and then take away your doubts. So sometimes we're thinking, come and knew Jesus is very, very complicated. But when I read the Bible more, I'm thinking the Lord prepared a very straightforward way. Just come and then you will see. It's a very easy way. So just make things easy. Just make things like this is a shortcut from him. Just go straight to him. And then you will know who he is. I'm not going to give you like a brainwash. Because if you have brainwash, if I give brainwash, I'll force you to accept something. I'll say, well, he is, and then you have to believe. No. I want you to get this easy way, but you still use your reason because he will answer that question and then you really know who he is. Like the little kids, I give you an example. In the beginning, call this man dad, probably he has no idea. He just said, all right, I just have a pure heart and follow it. But when he's growing up, he will know, yes, this is my dad. This is my mommy. I need to call him mommy. I need to call him daddy. So my prayer is, may you blessed and you will bear the same witness like John the Baptist and then Andrew in his message. And then you will say, look, the Lamb of God. I'm following him. I'm only seek from him. And then I know he is the Messiah. We have a time. We'll get some prayers. Oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you give us this message. And we thank you reveal this story to us. And let us know who we are following. And then we'll what we are seeking in front of you. And then, Lord, just please, just let us have a pure heart, wanted to follow your instructions. We come to you, and then you will let us know who you are. Oh, Lord, open our hearts. And let us put down all the questions and then the doubts. And we just wanted to know who you are. And may you open our eyes and let us know you are the Messiah. We need to worship you. We need to know you and we need to follow you. May you use this message and still working in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.